Well, at least one good thing. Amazon got a bigger return than they did last year. You can't say that for a number of early filers, as the reports have been coming out that people who have filed have seen their returns lower. I think the number was 8% lower over last year. And I forget what the number is of the number of people who have filed early who haven't gotten any return when they were expecting it. What was interesting today, though, the Treasury Department decided that they were going to answer the news reports that the initial refunds were lower. They tweeted out, "News reports on reduction in IRS filings and refunds are misleading. Refunds are consistent with 2017 levels and down slightly from 2018 based on a small initial sample from only a few days of data." And I think that's what the media was reporting. The initial sampling, what we know thus far, shows us that. But, you know, you leave it to the, I guess it is what it is. Anyway, here to share some thoughts on today's news with Senator Sanders and the Social Security Expansion Act, I've asked Helene Olin to come talk with us. She's a columnist, a writer, a blogger over at the Washington Post. Helene, thanks for taking time for us.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
So what do you think? Amazon got a bigger return this year. It's a great thing, isn't it?
Hey, you know, more money for the Washington Post. No, I'm kidding.
I just had to throw that out there, put you on the spot a little bit.
So, the tax thing is actually a fascinating story. I've been sort of following the tax refund issue for about a year, and there's a couple of different things going on. But people were getting, from the get-go, people were not seeing the increase in pay in their paychecks,
right,
which they should have been seeing, right? Objectively speaking, not only was it there, it was probably exaggerated because of the way the IRS recalculated the withholding tables so that people would even think they had gotten a break, right? And whether that was deliberate or not, you can speculate from now till next year, right? But people were never claiming they saw it. And the most likely reason was that it was probably being eaten up by health insurance, other fees, you know, they got charged. Maybe they upped their 401k contribution. Who the heck knows, right? But the fact is pretty much most people said that wasn't there. It's also true that people generally just don't think if they're getting a $20 a week increase, which is roughly what this is. If I'm remembering right, it was 18 a week for the typical worker. You know, it's just not the amount of money you're going to, like, go, wow, what a great sum, right?
Yeah, not life-changing.
Yeah, I mean, it won't even pay for two meals at Chipotle, right? So, anyway, so nobody ever saw this. So, surprise, surprise, you know, hey, $18 a week is, you know, hey, it adds up, right? It's several hundred dollars a year if you get a refund. And, surprise, surprise, more people than not are not getting refunds now. Or at least not as many as expected, and who are getting refunds
right.
Seem to be lower. And again, you know, hey, there is a chance it could be different people filed early because of the government shutdown. It sounds unlikely, but hey, you know, let's let it play out for a few weeks, right? But most likely it's that people now feel had, because what we know from, you know, behavioral science, not to mention other tax cuts, is that people simply don't notice small tax cuts, and they like their refunds. Even though, by the way, you should aspire to never get a refund from
right.
the federal government.
No interest-free loans.
It means you just gave the government an interest-free loan for the year, right? But it's also, frankly, a form of forced savings for a lot of people. And on that level, it works, right? And people probably wouldn't save the $18 a week themselves, but they would, you know, let the government do it for them.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I've had a couple of people, you know, complain, because I actually know a couple of people who filed early, and they didn't realize that a number of deductions that they had in the past, you know, for instance, you know, buying work gloves or work shoes or things that they would need for work, any number of the mileage that they use to drive far, back and forth, and, you know, all kinds of those little things that, you know, we didn't
right.
really think of, they're all gone.
Right. And, you know, and they're not just gone. It's that the way it's now calculated is a lot less people should be filing, you know, extended returns, right? You know, you'll do it on a postcard, but that postcard, because of the, you know, increase in the size of the deductions, of the, of the tax credits, but the result is, you're not going to be able to use what some of the previous deductions you had, many of which were taken away anyway.
No.
While, of course, again, as we all know, because we say this every day, Donald Trump and his types made out really, really well.
No, they did.
So, yeah, I mean, the whole thing was a scam. Everybody knew it was a scam, and now we're living with that scam.
I don't know. Not everybody. I think the people who are angry right now, I don't think they knew. I didn't think they see that. They didn't see this coming, which is why they're angry.
You know, polling showed that a lot of people did see it coming. I mean, so, you know, it's, but, you know, they're still angry, right? Uh-huh. I mean, because people count on that money. I mean, that's the thing. They just count on that money.
Yeah, you're right. I want to get to Sanders, though. I mean, the Social Security Expansion Act.
He will be so happy we're discussing this, by the way, because I didn't put this in the article, but I could say it. Is one of his pet peeves is that this does not get covered enough. He introduces this legislation every goddamn year. And he claims he can barely get coverage for it, which indeed does seem to be the case.
But I think now, because look, I've talked about it in the past when he's done this as something that we should be aspiring to do. I think now we're kind of in a different world, because I think now people are starting to maybe pay attention a little bit more. Because we've kind of seen how bad things can get. At least I'm hoping, because, you know, then again, you know, a lot of us are moving a little closer to that retirement age.
Right. I mean, you know, what we know is that, you know, polling shows, I always hate to say polling, but it's like, you know, it's sort of interviewing a gazillion people in the street. It's the next best thing, right? That most people not only support Social Security, they want to see it expanded, and they claim, at least they claim, they would even pay more taxes to do so. They would especially, however, like to see the rich pay more taxes, right? So what Sanders is proposing is essentially eliminating most of the payroll tax cap. The payroll tax cap right now is $132,900. But that means that any income above that you do not pay Social Security taxes on. And which means, by the way, that Donald Trump is like done with his Social Security bill for the year by the midday on January 1st. And Sanders proposes eliminating it above $250,000. So income up to $250,000 would be, you know, it would fall into a sort of donut hole of not being subject to the Social Security tax. And then above that, all income. And when he says all income, he means dividends. He means capital gains. He means whatever income you have. That stuff right now is also exempt from it. So the result, the reason for this is so that the rich pay their fair share. You know, income coming in 1983, the last time Social Security was reformed, was made up about 90%. Fulfilling need. Now it's at about 80. And a lot of that is because of the increase in wealth inequality and the fact that an increasing portion of the money the wealthy have is not taxed.
So we've figured out how to rig the game and walk away from the system.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, and are we surprised at that?
No. I mean, that's what they specialize in. I mean, you know, they're people of wealth, to quote Howard Schultz. But Sanders' point is that, you know, a good portion of the elderly would currently live in poverty if they did not have Social Security. That, and that's right now, right? That, you know, a lot of them are still in fairly straitened circumstances. You know, we hear every winter, God knows, about, you know, elderly people who can't afford to heat their homes or elderly people who can't afford to buy their medications. And, you know, moreover, that the generations going forward are even in a worse position than the elderly now. That the elderly now, we're still more likely than upcoming generations to have access to pensions, for instance.
Any chance this goes forward? I mean, do you think this gets a vote in the Senate? I know Mitch McConnell wanted to move the Green New Deal to a vote because he wanted to, you know, try and embarrass some people. Do you think this gets a vote?
I think it's possible that a competing bill will get a vote in the House. So 2 weeks earlier, John Larson, representative from Connecticut, also did a similar proposal. It's not quite the Sanders proposal, I should say, he would raise taxes by a very small amount on everyone, and he would eliminate the tax cap for income above $400,000. And if I'm remembering right, he doesn't tax income. He does not tax dividends and capital gains.
To me, that's the part that you have to do. I mean, because so much of the income that the very wealthy have is outside of what gets taxed. I mean, it's nuts to me. And also, you know, the idea that maybe people need a little boost as well. We need to expand what Social Security replaces in income.
Right, and that was the other thing, and I should have said that. Both Sanders and Larson's plan would change the formula so that there's an index formula that basically is the elderly version of life, right? Senior citizens spend their money. Senior citizens don't spend their money like you or me. They spend a lot more on housing, on heat, and on health care, and food. And then, say, somebody my age or your age, right? So as a result, they're actually subject to greater inflation than you or I am because of the health, mostly because of the healthcare issue, but sometimes energy and sometimes housing. And so, you know, that would also expand. And they also want to, you know, increase the payments full out.
No, and I think that's, I think we've got to be moving in that direction. But, you know, I look at this and, you know, it's a departure from where we were during the Obama years, where we were talking about chain CPI and figuring out how to restrict the growth of Social Security. And also, you know, back during the campaign last year, Mitch McConnell saying, well, we got to pay for that $2 trillion that we gave away. Let's cut Granny Social Security.
Right. And, you know, now we're calling on it, right? I mean, it's, you know, now when, you know, McConnell says that, people are like, well, you know, no, you can't. You just gave a massive tax break to the wealthiest people. Are you giving it back? What are you talking about? And, you know, and that's one thing the Democrats seem to have finally figured out in the past couple of years, that you can't always be on the defense. You've got to go on the offense sometimes, too. And, you know, the best way, frankly, to stop cuts in Social Security is to start screaming for an increase in Social Security, right? Because you've suddenly shifted the entire argument.
Yeah, but, you know, this is the thing that, you know, and I'll give Sanders credit. He's been screaming about this for a while. This is something that I've been talking about for a while, and I think a lot of people have. I'm just hoping we're at this moment. And maybe I give AOC too much credit for amplifying the voices of, you know, we need a higher top marginal tax rate. We need to rethink our economy. Maybe I'm giving her too much credit, but I'm hoping that the younger generation is looking at this going, you know, maybe this is the way forward.
You know, certainly the younger generation sees it. You know, how everybody else sees it is still to be determined. Though, again, we do know that that most people support higher taxes on the wealthy. Most people support the idea of, you know, taxing incomes above $10 million at a marginal rate of 70%. People, you know, contrary to what the Republicans are saying, most people seem to get that when Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says that, she's not talking about them.
I hope not. You know, because the conversations I've had recently are, you know, that, you know, use the B word for her. She wants to raise my taxes, or she wants to take cows away, or, I mean, you go, the most ludicrous stuff. And I'm going, where do you guys find this stuff?
And what do they say?
And, you know, we read, or we heard, or, you know, it's all, they listen to, you know, right-wing blather, and they're fed this constant nonsense. The first thing I heard about the Green New Deal is she wants to ban cows and airplanes. And I'm going,
right.
I didn't read that. Where was that in the proposal?
Yeah, I know. It's utterly absurd, but, you know, that's Fox News for you too, right? I mean, they just make stuff up and, you know, just they go for it.
And this is why I think it's important to talk about these things, because, you know, when you start giving people real options of, you know, this could be the vision for the future. And I'm, this is why I give AOC credit, maybe too much, is that she's using her voice and her platform, I think, in the right way.
I think so, too. And I think she's really shifted the argument and the dialogue. And it's really a remarkable achievement.
Yeah. And, you know, this stuff and, you know, Stabenow with the Medicare at 50 thing, I think important. And, you know, taking Democrats in a direction where, you know, they actually care about working people again. That's a kind of a novel concept, I know, but it seems that's maybe where they're heading.
It most certainly appears to be, and we just have to keep the pressure on. I mean, because it's not all Democrats, right? Like, to give an example, you know, Amy Klobuchar, who announced her, you know, she was running for
president. I knew you were
going to
go here.
She came up, one of her big agenda items is the idea of expanding tax-deferred accounts so that people can save. So, you know, if they hit a rough patch in life in middle age, they could go back to school, right? And it's like people can't afford to save for their children's college education.
Yeah.
Where are you getting this idea that this is a good idea? I mean, in the ideal world, it's a terrific little idea, but we don't live in that world, right? We live in a world where barely 2% of people are using 529 accounts for their kids. So who's putting money aside for, you know, the possibility they'll need to go back to school at the age of 45?
No, like, who has it? You're right. And at the end, you wonder, which world does she live in? But here again, you know, and I read your piece, and I've read a number of other pieces. She's kind of a slave driver, isn't she?
Well, that's what the reports seem to say. She's an abusive boss. I mean, enough people have come out at this point. You know, it's all anonymous, which, of course, gives her defenders a way to say, well, you know, she didn't do it. But, you know, you have to keep in mind, I mean, these rumors have been going around for years, as any journalist will tell you. This is not a sudden attack on Amy Klobuchar, no matter what, you know, her defenders would like to claim. That, you know, these people have talked about this for some period of time. And, you know, in a small world like Washington, you know, or for that matter, a greater world, you know, it's not, we don't live in a world where it's very easy to come out and say, yeah, you know, my boss bullied me. You know, you just don't do it. I mean, you would be blacklisted potentially. I mean, you get why people are very scared to come forward.
Yeah.
I mean, I forget which congressman it was, but, you know, one of the women who came forward, was it Blake Farenthold? I'm not going to remember, who had come forward to accuse him of, it wasn't him, I'm sorry, it was someone else. It was your guy in Pennsylvania, the one who got replaced by Connor Lamb. One of the women who had come forward to accuse him was, like, no longer even working in politics. Like, she couldn't get another job. I mean, it was awful.
No, it is awful, which, again, is why I still think every worker needs to have a union, even political workers. But that's a whole other argument for another day. But, you know, when I read the story of Amy Klobuchar, you know, one of the things that jumped out at me was she made the staff do the dishes. And I go, you know, is that a sexist thing? You know, have we now reached equality where, you know, now women can be as bad as men can be?
You know, she is, I mean, you know, it sounded like she was under the impression she was a Hollywood producer. You know, and that she had, you know, I'm sure you hear the stories, right? You know, Hollywood producers,
yeah.
The way they treat their assistants is somewhere beneath, you know, contempt, right? And people put up with it because they want to make it big in the film business. But it's an insanely abusive system. And people are, you know, ordered to walk their dogs, pick up their garbage, get their dry cleaning, do their dishes, whatever, right? And, you know, congressmen are actually not allowed to do that with their staff. There's actually rules about this. You can't ask your staff to do personal errands for you. It's just not allowed. You know, can you ask them to, you know, bring your suit in so that, you know, you can change for a speaking appearance? Yes. Can you take your old clothes off, toss them on the floor, and ask them to pick up after you? No, you're not supposed to do that. And, you know, she seems to have had issues on that line.
Yeah, I read it, and I'm going, well, hey, you know, equal rights. There you go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, my bigger point was in the piece, for the readers who don't want to go look it up, I mean, listeners, sorry, guys, is that, you know, this doesn't come out of nowhere, right? We kind of have a bullying culture,
sure.
Right? Donald Trump is not sui generis, right? He came from somewhere, right? We have this sort of cult of bullying in our country, and it has grown, you know, over the past 40 or so years, probably was there before. I mean, it's always been around.
Sure. As long as somebody has power over somebody else, they're going to abuse it.
Right. But, you know, we know that there's been research that bullying is much more pervasive in societies with extreme income and wealth inequality, which is the United States. The United States is a fairly conformist place and always has been. So that encourages it. And we seem to, like, sort of worship these people in a way, right? You know, Steve Jobs was a horrible person and was a terrible office bully, but people wrote, you know, fawning profiles of him. So, you know, when some people come forward to talk about Amy Klobuchar, it's not just that, you know, some say, well, you know, they're anonymous accusers and this can't be true. A lot of other people are saying, well, she's just tough as them. And it's women's turn to be, you know, a bully too in the office. And isn't that, it's our turn, right? And I'm like, to me, I'm kind of like, this is not feminist progress that I want, right? I wasn't aspiring for the right to be as awful as men have been. This is not, yeah, you know, this is not okay to me.
I was hoping women would be better.
I don't want women to be better. I want all of us to be better, right?
Yeah, but
I don't think this is acceptable. I don't think Steve Ballmer should have been supposedly throwing furniture at his underlings. I don't think, do you remember when the CEO of Huffington, of AOL, you know, started bad-mouthing one of his employees on a company-wide phone call because the guy's kid was born prematurely and had run up the health insurance bills? And, you know, this is bullying. And I mean, this is horrible, horrible behavior. And it shouldn't be allowed. And, of course, Trump, right? So this isn't okay. It's a societal problem. And, you know, as a society, we really do need to get a grip on it. In the meantime, we could say, you know, on the Democratic side, if somebody is treating her staff like this, or he, for that matter, should it be a he, we don't want any part of them.
I'm right there with you. Last question I've got on Sanders' bill. Any chance of this becoming law before Trump's out of office, or is this really a campaign issue for 2020?
This is a campaign issue for 2020 at this point.
Yeah, and I think a good one. Helene, I appreciate the time. I hope people will check out your work. You do fantastic stuff. Always great talking with you.
Oh, great talking with you, too. Talk to you soon again.
Thank
you. Bye, everyone.
Thanks so much, our good friend Helene Olin. Again, make sure you check out her work. We'll get links out at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. You listen to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to